Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' loss in Portland, last game before the All-Star break. Kevin Durant with 50 points. We'll hear from him and Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, we finally have reached the NBA All-Star break, and it looked for a while there like the Warriors couldn't wait for the All-Star break. And then, you know, they got it together for a little while, and then they lose this game in Portland, which actually was a wildly entertaining game, I thought, on Wednesday, where you had Kevin Durant scoring 50 points for Golden State. That was fun, even in a loss. And, you know, to see the way Damian Lillard went off with 44 and C.J. McCollum with his 29, you know, very exciting game. But now the much-needed rest, I guess, that the Warriors had been talking about for so long.
Yeah, and speaking for this podcast, we're tired too. No, not really. all we do is talk. But I am tired of talking about fatigue, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad we're at the All-Star break, so we don't have to talk about that anymore. And I don't think they're going to be talking about it, and they shouldn't be talking about it after the All-Star break. Listen, I get it. They played so many games over the last 4 years. A little erosion is inevitable. We saw it with the Bulls during their championship years. I saw it with the Lakers. You know, the number of wins would fluctuate, and they kind of trend down. And the urgency isn't always there for those regular season games. And then you add on this year that the regular season started in mid-October, right? I think it was the 17th was their first game.
Yeah.
And before that, they were in China. So it's been a really long year. I mean, I know they're playing hoops, and people say, well, they should get out there and tough it out. They're getting paid money to play hoops. But it's still your job, and it is still a long season. These guys are finely conditioned athletes. But the way the schedule is, especially stretched out a little longer this year, where you're playing two weeks more of intense games, it's human nature. These aren't machines. They're going to wear down a little bit. I totally get that. I just don't want to hear about it anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it serves no purpose at this point. Okay, you know what the deal is. You've kind of slipped. Houston's got the lead right now. By the way, did you see that the Rockets' Twitter handle, once Portland had beaten the Warriors, they celebrated being first in the West. So people were sending them little memes of these fake participation trophies for you know, having made it in first place. You know, let me know when the parade is. I mean, but that's Houston. They're gunning for the Warriors, and a lot of teams are going after the Warriors this year. There's no doubt about it. And I think that is also part of the problem, Joe, that we're seeing right now is that, and I think Kevin Durant has alluded to it before, that a lot of these teams are coming in and they circle that game on the calendar. And they're coming out with intensity, and the Warriors don't necessarily match that. And so, like in the Portland game, like we've seen so many times lately, bad first quarters where they give up 40. So it's not that the Warriors aren't coming out, you know, with their full attention on the game, but there's just something innate there, especially when in the postseason, that drives you a little harder. So it's not like they're going 50%. They may be going 85-90, but teams are coming at it at 100%.
Well, let's hear a couple of comments from the locker room after the game, because addressing exactly what you're talking about, Kevin Durant was asked about whether or not the Warriors are going through the motions.
No, I wouldn't say going through the motion, but we have to have more of a sense of an urgency when we're out there playing. you know, team's not going to, they up the playoffs. You know, everybody wants to beat us. Everybody's excited to play against us. So, you know, some guys are going to have great nights against us and make shots. And, you know, they knocked down about five threes in that first quarter that got them going. So, you just got to be prepared. I think it's going to be good to get away for a week and be ready to turn it up a bit when we come back.
Well, a lot of it has to do with desire, Ray, in that first quarter. I mean, 40 points put up by the Trailblazers, and that's a team that can get going in a hurry. I mean, that's a team that, you know, it's a scary team right now that could be whatever they are, maybe a 6, 7, or 8, because all those teams are all bunched up because they do have those two guards. And now with Nurkic, I mean, he was hurt last year during the playoffs, and the Warriors just rolled right over the Blazers. Nurkic definitely, to me, makes a difference. His size, his rebounding ability. So a team that you can't come out sluggish against. They can open up a pretty big lead on you.
Well, we know that backcourt can go thermonuclear.
Yeah.
We know Damian Lillard gets up for games against his hometown team, and they're at home, and you know that they were coming out of the gates fast. And the Warriors, didn't match that. To their credit, they got back in the game, and as you said, it was a wildly entertaining game. I mean, it was back and forth like a heavyweight bout in the second half with Durant hitting buckets, Lillard hitting buckets, McCollum, so forth. But for the Warriors, you know, the couple of trends that we've seen that we talked about a little bit that are different from previous years, the defense has slipped a little bit, and in some games a lot, and I think we saw that last game against Portland. They're not getting off to good starts, and the bench is not contributing consistently. So there are a lot of reasons for that, and plus they've had more injuries this year. Not an excuse, but it just, you know, plays into this erosion I'm talking about. But, I mean, Lillard, we've seen this multiple times, how he can go off against teams, and I'm sure he loved doing it against the Warriors. Durant was unbelievable.
He was.
But the Warriors' backcourt got outplayed badly in that game.
They did. And when you think about the first quarter issues the Warriors have had, they've been able to come back a number of times, but this time they just couldn't. And let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say after the game about why the Warriors continue to have issues, you know, the first quarter woes that they have.
Same thing that's accounted for the starts we've had for like the last month. Just it's got to matter. The game's got to matter from the beginning. And we were careless at both ends. Bad shot selection, careless with the ball, careless defensively, not getting up on shooters. And I give them credit. I mean, Portland came out. They were hot right from the start. But you know, we have to be ready to play right from the beginning, and we just weren't.
And I think some of that is Steph Curry, because, you know, he had 7 of the Warriors' 16 turnovers in the game. He just wasn't on his game the way he normally is. I mean, you know, some of those threes went in and out for him. Didn't look like he had the same trajectory, maybe. You know, he might have just been tired going into the All-Star break. I don't know. Again, that's not really the excuse. But, you know, even Klay Thompson, some of his shots, there were a couple. Like, it looked like he was shooting a medicine ball, to be honest. But then, you know, he got it going for a while there, too. So, you know, you can't really put it on one player. But as a collective group, it seems like they're got to figure out a way to step on the gas pedal earlier in these games against every team they play.
Yeah. And the starters have not been great as a unit. And there may be some changes that they look at in the second half in that regard. But what hit me about that soundbite there is you heard an exasperated coach. Once again, these are things he's been talking about almost all year. You know, they get in these lapses where they're playing carelessly. And the last 10 games, that's been the case. And, you know, they've lost 4 of their last 5 road games. So you didn't see that in the past either. And so it got to the point where, against the Suns, Steve Kerr handed the clipboard over to the players to get them to buy in a little bit more, to get them a little more involved. I thought it was a great move and took some self-awareness by the coach to say, you know, my message just isn't reaching these guys, you know, but it's their team. They have to be invested in this. And so he found a way to do that. I know there was some controversy about that, you know, that maybe it was disrespecting the Suns. A couple of Suns players made comments like that. Well, the Suns are bad. I would have done it if I was going to do it against any team. I would have done it against the Suns. You know, go out there and play better. Don't get blown out by 46. Now, given that roster, there's only so much they can do anyway. But, hey, that's the NBA. I don't think Steve Kerr was doing it to disrespect the Suns. He was doing it to mix things up and trying to find a way to light a fire under the team that you know, is not in the best place mentally. And so, there is some mental and physical fatigue, and you hope that they'll be refocused coming back to the All-Star break. And that refocus will include the better starts, getting Curry involved a little bit more early on, get him to hit a couple of shots early in the game. I think the focus manifests itself in fewer careless turnovers as well, trying to hit the home run. You hear that analogy all the time. Don't go for the home run. Go for the base hit. Go for the gapper, what you know you can get. Move the ball around. Make the extra pass. Make the defense move a little bit more, and the more you do that, the more openings will arise. I think that's the philosophy with Kerr's motion offense. But I also think, Mark Thompson in The Athletic had a good article about that, talking about how maybe they need to mix things up because some defenses are now keying to how the motion offense works and understanding how to disrupt passing lanes. Maybe a little bit more pick and roll between guys like Durant and Curry, because they've been successful, very successful, maybe the best in the league when they've done that. So that's a change you might see in the second half. You might see Curry shake up the rotation a little bit more. It'd be nice to have Jordan Bell back. He'll be reevaluated this week. You'd like to see him against some of these teams playing the five. And Zaza Pachulia, maybe you limit his minutes or you break it up a little bit. There's a couple things you can do. The other thing that Thompson article I thought was pretty interesting, you mentioning why not have David West with the starting five? Because what do they do with Zaza? They leave him wide open. There's no respect whatsoever, so they can, double on Curry. They can focus on closing out the three-point. They'll give Zaza the elbow jumper, which he hardly ever takes. And probably wisely so. West, you're going to give him that shot, he's going to make 9 out of 10 the way he's going this year. So maybe you mix him in with the starting five so that you don't have this big hole early in a game. That may be another way to go about it. But I'm sure that's one of the things that will be under consideration that the discuss during the All-Star break.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Getting back to what you mentioned about Steve Kerr, and the players drawing up the plays. First of all, I thought it was great. I mean, I thought it was innovative. I don't know that you've ever seen that in an NBA game, even in sports. I mean, think about other sports. players in the NFL calling plays from the sideline. We've seen quarterbacks do it, the old school way. Managers having the players maybe make up the lineup card. Yeah, maybe that's happened. But, this is something that you just don't see. And I think for Steve Kerr, it showed how secure he is. I think most people in general would be insecure and wouldn't want to do that, because if it works out and you win the game, which the Warriors did, it's like, oh, why do we need you? We don't need you if we can win this way. But Kerr likes to think outside of the box. I give him a lot of credit for that. And he also did explain it to the Suns, to their head coach, Triano.
Yeah.
He didn't just do this without any sensitivity.
No, I think he's quite aware how it might be perceived by the opponent. So he tried to make sure that was cleared with them. He still was going to do it, but, It's funny. I mean, that does indicate some self-awareness of the coach. Listen, he played in the league. He understands it's a players' league. It comes down to the players. The coach can only do so much. And right now, as like he said, it's not happening for whatever reason. The messages aren't resonating. And I think this happens a lot in sports. You're with a guy a long time, and although this is Kerr's fourth season, we're talking about potentially 400 games. That's a lot of games over the last few years. And eventually, the voice and the message loses its impact, so you got to switch things up. So give him some credit for that. I guess Iguodala took the clipboard first, and, we always talk about him as being the kind of coach mentality. I don't know if he'd want to do it for 82 games in a season, David West definitely is somebody you would listen to, or else Sean Livingston. But I think in the end, Draymond was taken over there. You know, so not surprising.
Yeah, he's kind of a coach on the court anyway, right?
Yeah. And I could see him being a coach later in his career. And by the way, he'd probably compete with Kerr for technicals as a coach. So.
But I'm glad you mentioned the technicals with Draymond because, yeah, he's inching closer to getting a one-game suspension. And I was thinking during the Blazers game about how the officials handled him, and it was great because he wasn't out of control, yet there were times where other officials might have given him a technical. And it made me think, Ray, sort of like baseball, that as a player, you have to be aware of who the officials are. Sort of how you have to know in baseball about the umpire strike zone. Okay, we've got this umpire today, and he's got this strike zone, or maybe he calls balks or whatever. In basketball, maybe you need to be more aware of who the officials are, because definitely Draymond was getting away with arguing, but you know what? He didn't deserve to get a technical in this game against the Blazers because he wasn't out of control or anything like that.
No. Can you imagine if Angel Hernandez was an NBA referee? there'd be nobody left on the floor. He'd be looking for everybody to run out of the place.
Again, it would be like Billy Crystal. I mentioned before in that movie, Forget Paris. Yeah. He kicks everybody out. What was it? Wasn't it Kareem's going away tour or something like that?
Yeah. Well, right. Let me be the first to say goodbye.
Yeah, it would be like that if Angel Hernandez was an NBA ref, no doubt.
Oh, my goodness. But I think that's part of the dialogue that's going on right now between officials and players. It's like, you know, let's talk to each other more instead of yelling at each other. And I think Draymond, you know, the impulse for a lot of referees is the minute he opens his mouth, he thinks that Draymond's going to bite their head off. So you make a preemptive strike and tee him up. It's to that point with Draymond. But that was a conversation that you're talking about that was going on. And I think that more of that would be good. But it's true. You've got to know who you are dealing with. Some referees are not going to be having it. Scott Foster, not going to be having it so much. Others are better about that. But I think there has to be an emphasis on both sides to come to a meeting of the minds on this because, and we've talked about it all year, it's gotten out of control this year. And the Warriors are some of the worst defenders. Now, there are other teams that are pretty bad as well. The Warriors aren't the only ones. But, here's a highly successful team, and they've just been carping at referees all year. And it gets you out of your game, too. It's got to slow down. Some of it's human nature. Some of it's going to happen in the heat of battle. Everybody gets that. But I think you have to make an effort. And by the way, if the Warriors do a better job of this down the stretch, maybe it'll serve them well in the postseason, too.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Down the stretch of the season here, after the All-Star break, you've got now Patrick McCaw out for at least a month with this wrist issue, fracture. And, that's a shame, first of all. I mean, I really miss seeing Jordan Bell out there for one thing. And now another young guy who finally had a really good game against Phoenix, you know. And I love the fact that he was willing to go down to the G League and play some games so that he could, you know, get more experience and try to get his rhythm going with a shot. And it looked like he was sort of turning the corner there, and then he gets hurt. So that's a bummer with him being out now for at least a month. And then Jordan Bell, hopefully he's going to come back in good shape. But, you hate to see those young guys lose any time as they try to be in the mix here.
Well, especially Bell in his rookie season and looking so promising and this injury going longer, I think a lot of people figured. But McCaw, too, because they need some consistency off that bench. They need another scoring threat. They need this guy to get to the ball to the hoop, get to the elbow where he hit a jumper, which was, pretty easy for him I mean, an understanding that you have some skills too. Don't be shy. We hear this phrase all the time: a shot created must be taken, from the Don Nelson era. If you've got a shot, man, take it.
Right.
And I think they've been trying to drill that message home for a year and a half, and you know, for him and for a lot of players this year, like Caspi, in and out because of injuries, that doesn't help the situation. I'd like to see Caspi step up, but you know, he's had battle injuries and illness as well. This is a guy who was a real good 3-point shooting threat when he got here, and he's taken, what, 20 or 22 all season long since he's been here?
Right.
You thought you'd get more out of him.
I know. You thought
you'd get more out of Nick Young. He hasn't been consistent. That's an issue for this team. It's the way the bench is, you know, in and out. Sometimes they're pretty good. You know, you've got Iguodala, West, and Livingston. They've been pretty solid. But there's no consistent 3-point threat. That's what they lost with Ian Clark, who was pretty good last year, and also had good chemistry with David West cutting to the hoop. So I never thought I'd say they miss Ian Clark, but he was a better ball player last year, and they just haven't gotten that consistency this year. So these injuries don't help in that regard. I've been saying, and I was wrong, that they'd get somebody. I thought maybe they'd get somebody a bench piece before the trade deadline. That didn't happen. But there are a couple of guys still out there, and Houston just picked up Joe Johnson. Last I heard, Shabazz Muhammad was out there. So I don't know if the Warriors think, well, Iguodala is going to shoot better from three. That'll solve part of the problem. Or whether at this point, with McCaw out for an extended period, that they go out and get somebody. Or do they do that this late in the season and worry about messing up the chemistry?
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea. But for me, Andre, it just doesn't have his confidence shooting the basketball. It's almost like he's not even looking to shoot anymore. I mean, that's the biggest difference between him and Swaggy P, because Nick Young's still looking to shoot, even though, you know, he missed a couple of wide-open threes in the corner there against Portland. He's still going to look for a shot, and you know, for better or worse. But Andre just seems to have lost his confidence shooting the ball. He's going to contribute in other ways. We know that defensively and, the way that he can drive to the basket and you know, kind of facilitate the offense a little bit, but he just doesn't look like he wants to shoot the ball anymore.
He gets that way, and we've seen that over the years, and part of it is, you know, he's got probably three elite shooters on the floor when he's there in many games, and so he will defer and try to facilitate and concentrate on playing defense and getting out in transition sometimes. Now what you're seeing is defenses are not respecting Iguodala, they're not respecting McCaw, they're not respecting Caspi, and they're collapsing in on him. So, it was good to see him in the last week at least make a couple of three-pointers. We know he's capable of doing it. And I think for him now, he's going to have to take a little more prominent role. We know he's capable and he has a good sense of doing that. I mentioned before, Game 5 of the Finals, I was there last year and he was terrific. He had 20 points. He was a lot more aggressive. I think that's what they're waiting to see. I think for him, I'm sure part of it at this point in his career, his age, he paces himself. But I think after this All-Star break and going into the postseason, that's got to be a big point of emphasis, is to get him going again.
More Dubs OT after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Let's talk about the All-Star game and what you're looking most forward to in Los Angeles. You got the three-point contest, and I like Clay's chances, although I think Paul George is the guy I sort of think will give him a run for his money. What do you think of that?
I'm going to always bet on Clay, but that's not a bad one, Paul George. The other thing I'm looking for a Sunday is who's hungover. Saturday night, as we know, Saturday night and the Sunset Strip have claimed many a visiting player when they're going to Staples to play the Clippers or the Lakers for a daytime game on Sunday, or in this case, I guess it'd be late afternoon or evening. But Yeah, that's always fun. I always like I don't watch the slam dunk that much anymore. I guess it was pretty good last year. But I do watch the three-point contest. And I watch the fourth quarter of the All-Star game. That's about it.
Okay, what about these two teams? And, you look at the LeBron James team, and it seems like the drama team. I don't know if you ever watched that show Entourage. I used to love Entourage. Johnny Drama. LeBron's team should be called Johnny Drama, because you've got LeBron with Kyrie Irving in the starting lineup, which, he picked him, so can't be too much drama, I guess, anymore. But, you've also got the Russell Westbrook in the same locker room as Kevin Durant. They'll be on the floor together at some point in that game on the same team again. There's just a lot of drama, really off the court to think about that'll kind of transpire on the court.
Which one's Turtle?
That's a good. I don't think anybody's Turtle in this. Well, the defense is Turtle for both teams. Yeah,
pretty much until the last 2 minutes of the game. I mean, I guess. If I'm looking at these two teams, I can't believe I'm breaking this down. Maybe a few more three-point threats on Steph's team.
Yeah, I think so.
Steph's a little hurt that people are putting down his team, that they don't think they have a chance against LeBron's team. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they all work together. And, guys who are going at each other, like Harden, for example, being teammates. That's going to be an interesting dynamic. And who freezes out Russell Westbrook? that's going to be another part of it as well. But, I'll tune in for a five-minute stretch just to see these guys perform, knowing that it's barely going through the motions until late in the game. Maybe with the money on the line now, a little more money on the line, the competition will be a little more heated. But I don't have high expectations. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'd like to see Curry, Harden, Damian Lillard, and Klay Thompson all out there together. All these guys standing around the three-point line. they're all big-time scorers, so why not?
Yeah, just give me one guy who can rebound and those four and just fire away and see what happens. I want to see a game where one of the teams hits 200 points. We might see that Sunday.
They might play defense if they had some kind of incentive, like, I don't know, millions of dollars if you hold the other team under 100 or something.
Yeah. Well, what are we talking about, 100,000?
Yeah.
I don't
like
know.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's chump change. That's like, a few technical fouls here and there that you pay the league for. But, maybe it puts a little bit more on the table, and some guys will take that money and go to Vegas and gamble it away in a couple of days. I'm not sure what the deal is. But I will say this, you have four Warriors in the game. And I've talked to fans on Twitter about this a little bit. A lot of fans worried about this. Well, they're not going to get a break. They have to go to the All-Star weekend. Listen, this is not work that they're going to be going through. Yeah, they have some commitments they have to do. They're definitely, I think in Steph's case, he's clearing his calendar a little bit more. They get a couple of days off before they even do anything in L.A. And it's in L.A., by the way. It's a short trip. It's in the same time zone.
Yeah.
And once it's over, they're going to get a few days off as well. So they're going to manage to dip their toes in the pool once or twice along the way. I think they're going to be okay.
Well, Steve Kerr will be dipping his toes in the pool and in the ocean and all that kind of stuff, because he's going to Hawaii, so that'll be fun for him.
Hey, that's where I would go. Absolutely. That's the best time of the year, or one of the best times, because you want to go before spring break, where all the crazies are there, or after spring break, or before graduation season, and then, of course, summertime. And you don't want to be there during the holiday season. A lot of people go during Thanksgiving. So that's an excellent time for him to be, getting a little mental and physical rest.
All right, well, Ray, enjoy the All-Star break, the All-Star game, whatever you part of it that you watch, and we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, and our next podcast, I will not be breaking down the All-Star game. Sorry.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.